Hallelujah. Thank you, Mark. So let's pray over this offering. Father God, we thank you for the seed that was sown. We thank you for the hearts. We thank you for the minds that are contemplating even sowing, Lord God, on a monthly basis into the apostolic ministry of John Alley, Lord God, and his team, Lord. We thank you for, Lord God, the victory that will be won. We thank you, Lord God, for the paths that will be paved. But Father God, we thank you for a return on the investment, Lord God, and that every seed would produce after its own kind, Lord God, and there would be a multiplicity of harvests. And I declare not only a harvest in finances, but a harvest in relationships, a harvest, Lord God, of what is being sown into, Lord God, as apostolic eldership, Lord God. We thank you for this. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray, amen. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, good evening. Hallelujah. This is a good day to be in the house of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the divinely designed day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. This is the divinely designed day specifically for me that the Lord has made for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Before time began, he planned this day. He painstakingly made the good paths, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the good paths that I would walk upon. He prepared the anointings I would need. He prepared the treasures I would need. He prepared everything for me for this day. He even prepared for me spoken words that I would release into this realm, that I would dig out because I pray the Lord's Prayer. This is a daily thing. This whole apostolic Christian kingdom church thing. Can we say church thing? This church thing is a daily thing. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily thing. We cannot lose sight of it in all of our dreams and all of our expectations and all of our revelation. We must come down to the conclusion that I must meet with my Savior every day. I must climb the mountain of God. I must climb Zion. I must spend time in the presence. I must muster. I must release. I must speak forth and create the atmosphere out of declaring his word over my life. Can you say this after me? Can you say, Father God?
Father God.
Okay, can everybody else now say it? Say, Father God.
Father God.
Oh, there it is. Thank you. Music to my ears. Let me just stop there. The reason why I have you repeat things after me, like everybody doesn't do that, that's fine. That's not their thing. It's my thing. Dang. The reason why I have you say it is because I don't have enough words in my message, so I have to take up time. Honesty is a good policy. It's not very good for offerings, but... Shaka Bahai. But the reason why I have you, like, seriously, I could preach for 10 hours straight. I'm a machine. A cyborg. If there was a cyborg, I would have wished it a little slimmer. Anyway. No, the reason why I have you declare things is because David says my tongue is a pen of a ready writer. And I write your commandments on my heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of my heart, my mouth speaks. The Bible says, when you speak the word back to God, he said, my word will not return to me void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Then the Bible says that he sends his angels to accomplish his word. So when you are declaring the word of God, when you're declaring the mysteries of God, when you're declaring things that you wrote on the tablets of your heart back to God, you are automatically opening up the angelic realm to minister to, through, and for you because you are one that receives salvation. Amen? Amen. That's why I'm having... Thank you. That's why I have you do that. But I want you to add your faith to your words. Because God does not come for a word you don't believe, and the devil doesn't run from a word you don't believe. You got to declare. He said, the Bible says, add your faith to your words. We are in training for reigning. What your pastor and your apostle is doing over the last several years with sonship and with holy community. And what he's doing through this new revelation of eldership and also this revelation of a victorious eschatology and a victorious church. We are a victorious church because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We are a victorious church. Don't be guided by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Declare the word of the Lord over your community and over your family and watch them change by the power of his word. Hallelujah. His word is the most powerful thing ever created because his word is him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the creator of the universe. Jesus, the only begotten of the Father, is the creator of the universe. It was the creator of the universe that died on the cross. It was the creator of the universe that shed his blood. There are seven places that Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe, shed his blood for your perfect redemption. That's a really good topic. And man, I preach that thing good. The blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Word of God, the blood of the Creator of the universe, the blood of God is the thing that gives us access to everything, the accessibility to the kingdom of God to come into you. You're not saved by the blood, you are saved because of the blood. You need to know that accessibility has been made for you. You can run boldly. But I'm going through puberty. Second time around. Boldly. You can run boldly into the throne room of grace and obtain what you need in the time of your need. You need to know that you have accessibility, but you need to also know that he has accessibility to you. It's Shema. It's the open communication that the blood of Jesus Christ created. The open communication that we can have and we can receive. The mysteries. The mysteries that are coming, John, are so overwhelmingly awesome as we spend time and allow and understand that God wants to release revelation. The church is being built on the fact that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and the Savior of the world and the Creator of the universe. The church is being built on the revelation that Jesus is the Messiah. The church is being built on the revelation that Jesus Christ is the one that restored community back to his people. And he's also building his church on the revelation that we can receive revelation, that we can hear from the Father. I'm here to champion your ears. I'm here to declare to you, as somebody that operates in the prophetic realm, that the most important thing you can do is be in communication, but understand that God wants to speak to you more than you want to hear him. He wants to reveal to you mysteries, but he wants you to be in a place where you can handle. So I got a little ahead of myself there. But the reason why I have you repeat things is you're writing your potential on your heart. It's so important to declare out loud. It's so important to declare the word of God. It's so important to declare the prophecies. And war, a good warfare with the prophetic words that you've received in the Bible, for starters. Amen. Replete with victory. Replete with victory. This is a victorious book. But also the prophetic words that you're about to receive from us tonight. You need to take these words. You need to hear the word of the Lord. You need to take them. You need to lay hold of them. You need to possess them. And you need to believe them. Because a devil will not move by a word you do not believe. It's just not about an incantation. It's just not about repeating something. But it's about declaring something because you believe it and releasing it into the atmosphere and watching it shift and change by the power. So, are you ready to declare something? Yes. Say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I declare, Holy Spirit, Lord, over my mind, my will, and my emotions, and over my body, and over this night, and over peace, and over Australia. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, you are Lord here tonight. Can you give God a hand clap? Hallelujah! 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 Woo! Yeah! I'd like to introduce two of the most beautiful ladies in the room. Tammy and Sarah, could you come on up? Can you give them a hand? This is my wonderful wife of 23 years. 23 years and five kids later, And I don't know how everybody else got older, but you didn't. It's just, it's a miracle of science. Yeah. But I just wanted to share something, unless you want to. And this is my beautiful daughter, Sarah. A Mercedes, because we don't use camels anymore. Mercedes, a house, something around there. If you guys are interested in. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I'm not. They want to say that. I received that.
They want to receive that. Amen. Anyway, Sarah, did you want to go first or you want to go first?
That doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
Go away.
Go ahead.
Take me away. Okay. What's the guy's name again?
Tony.
Okay. Tony, I had talked to you earlier today about how we had driven up through the mountain. And I just wanted time to pray over and prophesy over you. And Barry's going to join me. But there was just such an excitement in my spirit when we drove through the town and when we saw the little church that was there. And just I feel like there's a real anointing in the ground there that hasn't even been tapped into. Mm. And that in that town, I am just in my spirit, I mean, you can feel the hopelessness, right? You can feel that there's been hope deferred. And people need to dream again and learn to dream again. But I felt like I could hear God saying the enterprise is not over. That what has been seen as almost a disaster or something that has been an eyesore can be turned into great riches. And there's still enterprise in that town. It's just going to take somebody with God's thoughts to see it. And I had shared with you earlier today about Shingating Island and how they took these ponies that were a pest and they've turned an amazing enterprise into it. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of thing that I really feel in the spirit God is going to download. But I really just, if you can just come up and we'll lay hands on you and pray over you. And I just feel like there's a strong anointing on you to help people to dream again, to stir that dream in them. And that in a little community like that, it's not about, sometimes it's about who God touches that cracks open everything. Because usually a community like that is all kind of intertwined and everybody knows everybody and half of them are related. And if they're not related to somebody, they're related to the other person, right? And so I just really feel like there is a couple of key people that God is going to bring across your path, even in the next few months. And you're going to begin to sow into them. And it's going to create this tipping point in the bowl of prayers that have been raised for that area. And you're going to see where the anointing is going to pour out. And I kept mistaking today every time I would speak about it. I kept calling it Mount Carmel. And I was like, what is wrong with me? But I really believe that God is saying there is that level of anointing there. And it can be tapped into it. But somebody has to be willing to release hopium to those that have no hope, so that they can begin to dream again and begin to see things differently. And that's all, they just need to see it through a different lens. Because what they've always seen, you know, sometimes we look at something and we see it, but if we can see through God's eyes and see differently. So, and I just really feel that even with these key people that you are going to be able to truly minister to and just see a release, there's going to be a cracking open in that town.
Amen.
Just such a release. And just sort of really pray for a real love to be able to even endure with them. That sometimes, you know, sometimes it takes an amazing amount of love to break people through to the kingdom.
Amen.
So just raise your hands to the Lord. Father God, we just thank you for the anointing that rests on Tony, the ability, Father God, that you have placed within him to help people to dream again. Father God, we just even stir his ability to dream. Mighty One, Shikiti Roshka Manandi Arakatin Anarakashkoti Areti Anandi Adatati Adaladiditi. Father, we just add our faith to his faith for that community. And we say, dream, dream, dream in Jesus' mighty name.
Hallelujah. Dream again. Dream again. Yeah, let's give God a hand clap for that. Thank you, Lord. Dream again. Dream again. Dream again. Dream again. Dream again. It's safe to come out. It's safe to dream again. It's safe to dream again. There's an apostle at the helm. It's safe to dream again. There's a covering. It's safe to dream again. There's covering. It's safe to dream again. There's a fresh, new hope underneath a covering. It's safe to dream again. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's safe. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm telling you that it's possible again. Everything that has raised its head against you, the flood that was meant to take you out is the very flood that's going to take you up and over and into. The enemy doesn't know it, but every time he came against you, he was paying your way forward. It's time to dream again. It's time to throw caution to the wind. It's time to believe the word of the Lord again. It's time to dream again. It's time to dream again. It's time to dream again. It's time to breathe in the fresh breath and wind of the Spirit. It's time to dream again. It's time to wake up out of the nightmare of normality and wake up into the dream of God and the purposes of God for your life. It's time for you to be spectacular. It's time for you to be supernatural. But in the midst of your spectacular, don't miss the nuances of the supernatural that meets you every day. We cannot be just looking for the fireworks and this and that when God has something for you every moment of every day. Say, it's time for me to dream again. Say, Father, give me the grace to dream again. Amen. What you got, lady?
Well, it's funny because I had written down Rob Dreams Coming Home.
Oh, so amen.
Good.
Amen.
Let's get that. I'm just going to share a few words of knowledge.
Well, but share it. You'll share it still?
Sure.
Yeah. Just don't glaze over that one just because I said it. It's good.
Okay. I'm going to share a few words of knowledge, and I always like to share quickly before I share them that it takes two people to activate words of knowledge in the Spirit. And it takes a person that's going to speak them. That's me. And the person who's going to step out in faith and grab a hold of that which is theirs. Because I'm going to say some things that really don't make sense to me, but they're going to make sense to somebody in this atmosphere and somebody here tonight. And it takes faith to stand up in the midst of those things. And so tonight, if that's you, like, don't leave me hanging. Okay? Because, like, the most awkward thing is when you give a word of knowledge and nobody responds, and it's like a high five with no response. And so, And I like getting responses to my high five. So I'm just going to jump in. Is there anybody here with imbalanced blood cells? That's what I heard from God, imbalanced blood cells. Yeah. Amen. So what is it exactly? Amen. Here, just step forward. I'll pray for you. In the name of Jesus, I speak a balancing back to this mortal body right now in the name of Jesus, and everything stolen will come back in 100-fold, 100% complete healing right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Can we get a catcher?
Amen.
Catcher.
Is anybody here feeling almost dizzy? There's lightheadedness, dizziness. Nobody's feeling dizzy or lightheaded, almost stuffy, head coldy. Nobody? Yeah?
Somebody's pointing at some people.
Oh, up here.
It's okay. You can just receive it there.
You can
just receive it there, ma'am.
Oh.
Or you can come on down and receive your prize.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can we have a catcher? Would that be okay?
She's got a really bad sinus infection, but not anymore.
Amen. Jesus' name.
I love when people get healed. It's awesome.
Oh, excuse me, sir. Yeah. One third of the kingdom is joy.
That's right.
Just throwing that out. The kingdom of God is not in eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Come.
Hey. I love. Anybody here with a wrist injury? I wasn't sure if it was arthritis in the wrist or just an injury, something happened to the wrist.
We're here.
Oh, awesome. Sorry, I didn't even see you. What happened? You have arthritis in your wrist? Oh, wow. Well, just lift your hand like this. So the bone needs to come back together? Well, just keep it out. I'm just going to pray. And God just wants to touch you, and God wants to make that whole. Mm-hmm. Because nothing in us is supposed to be missing or lost or broken. And so in the name of Jesus, I bless this man, God. I thank you for 100%. I speak just like in closing of where the bone is missing, where every fracture's come in. I just speak as if it didn't even happen. Come back into complete wholeness. May he do more than he ever thought he could. Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus.
I speak to the spirit of infirmity that set in because of an accident. I speak to you, spirit of infirmity. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ against you, and I command you to come out. And I thank you for a healing anointing going in right now. I thank you just even that warmth. And I thank you that it just begins to move and just swivel perfectly in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. I remember I was in a meeting in Kingston, Ontario, several years ago. And this gentleman gave out a word of knowledge about somebody's neck that was damaged, and I was in a little bit of a tussle one time, and I got hit over the head with a baseball bat, and it caused nerve damage, and Tammy had to rub my neck for like an hour a day almost, and I almost didn't want to get healed because I liked the attention. But God thought it better. So he just called it out, and all of a sudden my neck just felt like it was on a swivel. I mean, it never felt so good, and it felt like light in my neck. I remember I was in Guyana, and I was down at a Brethren conference. I don't know if you know Brethren's, yeah, and me. But the very first miracle that the pastor saw was his daughter taking off her braces and walking up and down. And she says, I felt like light in my legs. I said, what did you feel when we prayed for you? She said, I felt like light. It's like the Father of light comes. I feel the anointing right now. It's like the Father of lights. Dr. Gates from Chicago has done a study on, it's called the singing string theory. Anybody ever heard of it? Thank you, Alex. All right, Levi. Alex for two. Sorry, that's Levi. Yeah. What was I saying? Singing string theory. I'm so glad I thought that back. Oh. And he's done the study that the base of all DNA is vibrating filaments of light. The base of every DNA, this is scientific, that when you boil us down to our lowest common denominator, we are vibrating filaments of light. That's why he's called the Father of Lights. That's why I felt like light. I don't know how you feel light, but I felt light. And she said, I felt light in my legs. She didn't feel her legs being light. She said, it's like I felt light. The creator of the universe wants to shoot through your blood cells. The creator of the universe, the one, he wants to speak a word. His word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet and healing to my body. Amen. I just sense right now God wants to do a mass healing. If you have pain in your body, I just want you to just begin to just receive this right now. Father God, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ against the spirit of pain. Father God, I'm asking you right now for the light of the gospel and the light of your word to go into every molecule and bring back into harmonic, symphonic, with the heartbeat of your healing touch. In Jesus' name, I command your bodies to come into harmonic, symphonic. The beating, the resonating. I command your body to resonate with the healing anointing right now. Resonate with the heart of the Father. I speak to every bit of swelling. I speak to every nerve ending. I command it to recede right now. And I thank you for peace coming. I declare peace over your body. I speak to your bodies right now in Jesus' name. Your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And every other illegal spirit, such as infirmity, has no place on your body. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ against it now. And we command it to come off. We speak pain, shut your mouth now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Can we give God a hand clap? Okay, how many people if pain has left your body? You know for sure that like the pain's gone. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give God a hand clap for that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah! Come on, that's good stuff right there. Okay, do you have any more?
Yeah. That's awesome.
You know, go Team Jesus.
Yeah, go Team Jesus. Anybody here have a construction business?
Oh, right over here.
Awesome.
Right here?
Two people. Yes, yes. Both stand up. I heard construction business, and I heard prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. And I really see, not just financially, but there's about to be a few divine connections. That somebody's just going to give you a call. You're going to get an email. I'm not too sure how it's going to come. But God says, I'm about to set you up with something you need so you can be all that I've called you to be. And you're in construction for a reason. We need buildings, and we need infrastructure. It's kind of important. And so just first off, what you're doing is important. But second off, God just wants to blast you with a load of prosperity. I see financial blessing, Jesus, but I see divine connection. So just place your hands out like this. And God, I thank you for these men. God, I thank you for these businesses. God, I speak prosperity and that everything they touch will prosper in this season, God. I call forth the word from heaven, God, the divine connections that are going to meet them exactly where they are to come now in the name of Jesus.
I break every containment. I break every lie spoken against your business right now in Jesus' name. I command breakthrough and a breakout and wise and witty and ingenious ideas from heaven. Mysteries being released into your minds of how to make something better and do something faster without cutting corners and delivering a beautiful product.
Amen.
And I declare favor. I declare over you that you're growing in wisdom, stature, and favor with both God and man. command the doorways of opportunities, of advancement into the business mountain. I command those doors to be open right now in Jesus' name. Favor, according to Psalms 5:12, that says, "For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield." In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Good. Hallelujah. Can you give Sarah a thank you? Amen. I was, last year I was ministering at a church in the Hamilton area, which is just outside of Niagara Falls. And God had me pray favor over this gentleman. His name is Jose Barrera Antonio Garcia. Jose Barrera Antonio Garcia. Thank you. Thank you, Lloyd. Tony. He has the same name as the biggest drug cartel in Mexico. He's not him. I don't think he's him. Because we have a lot of explaining to do. I release favor over him. Because every time he would go from Canada into the United States of America, the nails would go underneath the tires, the machine guns would come. This is not an exaggeration. And him and his wife would be taken into a dark room and wait for interrogation every time they went across the border. Cross-border shopping was not real popular with them. That means nothing to you because that's a Canadian. Anyway. So the Father had me release favor over him. And that's why I'm saying when I do release favor over people, things shift and change. That's why I'm telling you that, because it happens. You need to reach out and grab that. Because I told him, I said, the very next time you go across the border, you're going to hand him your passport. They're going to look at the passport, and they're going to hand it back to you, and they're going to say, "Have a nice day." I get a call a couple months later. "Guess what we just did? We went to the cheesecake factory." I said, "Buddy, you didn't need that." I know I'm the pot, Colin. Yes, I know. He says, "Barry, you wouldn't believe it." I said, "Well, yeah, I might. Take, you know, give me a chance." He says, I hand him my passport. They gave it back to me, said, "Have a nice day." Amen. There's power in your words. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can have authority to shift circumstances and situations. It's not the size of your faith, it's the belief. It's your belief in your authority. Can you hear me? Your God-given authority, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, has given you a potential to tap into the power source of all of the universe. And when you add your faith to your belief into the authority that has been purchased for you, because you are back in dominion, you just don't believe it. Or do you? Or do you? We're talking about training for reigning. Training for reigning. The apostle is changing the way you think, and it's even shifting your emotions. I taught on this topic of victorious eschatology to my sons for 6 months. I've been walking down this path, and And even Apostle John, when we were in California, began to blow my mind with what he was telling me. Because I thought I was a big man of faith and power for the hour when I was saying, we got at least 50 years. That's the truth. And I was only basing that on a prophetic word that I got from Christian International. Bill Hammonds, one of his prophets, said that I'll be relevant in my son's life until I'm 90. So I didn't care what any prophet was saying. I was going to be around until I'm 90. Antichrist can come and go. I didn't care. I was here till I'm 90. But I couldn't, I was like your pastor, I was like your apostle. I couldn't preach eschatology and the study of the end times, what eschatology means, in case you didn't know that. I'm sure you did, but I'll throw that other one anyway. I didn't know where to put it. I couldn't buy into a victorious ecclesiology and a defeatist eschatology. I couldn't buy into me going out and with my blood, sweat, and tears going in and establishing and making the kingdoms of this world the kingdoms of my God. And then one glorious day, I say, well, Satan, have my kingdom. Does that make any sense? That we go out and make the kingdoms of the world the kingdoms of our God. I know there's some people that say that the kingdoms of this world are the kingdoms of our God, and I understand that, but that's potentially, and that's actually, but there still has to be a manifestation, and there's somebody that's got to go out and take what is ours. And the Bible says you got to lay hold of that which has been laid hold of you. We got to rise up in our authority and release the power and the kingdom of God and go forth and take the dominion and take the kingdoms and take the promised land and take our mountains and rise up, because proximity is power. We got to go out and we got to do it. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for I am anointed. Can you say, I am anointed?
I am anointed.
Can you tell me like you mean it? Like, I am. Come on, say, I am. I got you with your mouth. I'm chewing, please. I can't do it right in the mouth. I just made things worse for her. Just healing over your emotions. Say,
I am
anointed.
Woo!
Say,
I am
anointed
with the Holy Spirit.
I am anointed. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. What Jesus was quoting in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, was out of Isaiah chapter 61. And Jesus knew what it meant to have the anointing on him. Because it's not good enough to have authority, but we need a manifestation of a greater level of the power of God that we have accessibility for, so that we can truly go out and through our new revelation that we're not taking off. It's time to take over. It's not time to take off. It's time to take over. It's not time to take off. It's time to take over. Do you even know what that means? Do you even know what I'm saying? It's not time to take off. We're not no more rapture practicing. I want to tell you, it's time for us to put on not our bouncy shoes, not Tigger shoes, but track shoes and work shoes and police officer boots and scaling boots and construction boots. It's time to go into all the world and release the kingdom of God and allow the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to build his church. Yeah.
We have been placed back in dominion. And we right now on this weekend, in this summit, we are in a high place, receiving orders, receiving revelation, receiving mystery, receiving an anointing, receiving a power because of the blood of Jesus Christ that has given us the ability. We are here receiving our marching orders. We are here collectively with a corporate anointing, making an advancement together. We're in this summit. We're in this high place. We're above the snake line. There's places in God which Jesus went where the enemy could not hear him. There are places of God that you can dive into that throws the scent off of the enemy. Ladies and gentlemen, when the hounds of hell are nipping at your heels, run to praise. When the hounds of hell are nipping at your heels, run to praise. As a deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship. Do you know what the writer, the psalmist, was declaring that day? He was declaring that a deer was running and looking for water. But we have this picture of this deer that is thirsty because he's been prancing around the meadow. Just like that. He's a very manly deer. You win some, you lose some. But that's not the picture. Thank God. But what it is what the psalmist is writing about is a deer that is being chased by the enemy, by a wolf, by a predator. And he knows instinctively if he can dive into the water and be submerged in that different atmosphere, that the enemy would no longer be able to find him. My job this weekend is to get you to the place called hearing, to come along, John and Hazel and David and David and Philip and all the rest of the leadership, and believe with you to go to the next level. But I'm also here to encourage you that there is a presence that you can live in, Ron. There's a presence that you can abide in on a regular basis. That the Bible says the glory that Moses had compared to the glory that you have is like his glory is no glory at all, because his was passing away, but yours remaineth. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the anointing and of the presence of God abides on the inside of you. The creator of the universe lives and abides in you. Father, give us a revelation. You cannot figure this out with your finite mind. Heaven, the spiritual realm, the angelic realm, are not subjected to time nor space. It uses it at its whim. The fact that the kingdom of God lives in me and lives in you, and he's omnipresent in each one of us, that's what makes him God. Take your right hand. Put it on your belly and repeat this after me. Say, the Creator of the universe lives in me. We got to do it again for she missed it. Once again. Okay, think about what you're saying. Say, the Creator of the universe lives in me. The Creator of the universe lives in me. The Bible says, Christ in me, the hope of glory. It said, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your mortal body, that same spirit shall also quicken your mortal body. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is in you. I want to tell you that you are a fountainhead. According to the word of God, you are a fountainhead of living water. The very same water that flows underneath the throne room of God in heaven flows in and has the potential of flowing out of us. Same. That's why the Bible calls you a fountainhead of living water. What does a fountain do? It pulls from one atmosphere up a conduit and releases it out of a spout or a gate and shoots it up and it rains back down. You have the potential because of the blood of Jesus Christ and your faith and you being put back into dominion. You have the potential of bringing heaven to earth out of your being. Psalms chapter 24, verse 7 says, lift up your head, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Lift up your head. That's your gate. Your mouth is your head. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. Spirit is what we release into this realm when we declare. The Bible says that he's enthroned upon the praises of his people. When you praise him, he shoots up out of you. The Spirit of the living God that dwells in you rains back down on you. And that's how you put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Romans chapter 13, it says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh to fulfill its lusts. The Bible says, but by the Spirit do you put to death the deeds of the body. How do you do that? I made reference to it this morning. You on a regular basis, on a daily basis, which is the best case scenario, get in the presence of the Lord. Begin to call forth living waters to come out of you and mantle you and quicken you and flow forth from you and shift and change. Lift up your head, O ye gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors. Your spirit is the doorway to the spiritual realm. Revelation chapter 3, verse 17, I believe it is. You can just turn me down just a little bit. There's an echo. It says, I stand at the door and I knock. I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. Your spirit Your born-again spirit is the doorway to the supernatural. You are a fountainhead of living water. And you can pull by your faith. And you can say, yes, Jesus, come and dine with me, and I will sup with you. Come, kingdom of God, come. Kingdom of rivers of living water, come. Rise in the midst of me and come out of me. This is your gate. This is the place of authority. This is your weapon. This is your launching of missiles. This is your creation. This will change and shift as you declare the greatness of your God. If you have your Bibles, I want to end here tonight. Don't get excited. Because I got Acts 1 through Revelation. I love you guys, and I thank you so much for the opportunity of ministering to you. Thank you for opening up your pulpit. Thank you for opening up your home and your house. And I'm just honored to be here and declare the word of the Lord. And before I go any further, you must know what the apostle is telling you is true. That this is our greatest moments. This is the time that we need to arise and shine. For your light has come. There's a revelation. The light of the revelation is come. Arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord has the potential of shining and being lighted upon you. Can somebody say upon? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Though there be darkness upon the earth and deep darkness upon the people, my glory will rise upon you and be seen on you. And according to the brightness of your rising, according to what you let God do in your life, so will the kings of the world come, because they will see their answer on you. Every day you don't manifest the kingdom of God is a day that somebody does not see their answer in this realm. That's not condemnation, that's just reality. Because every day that you manifest the kingdom of God, the Bible says, let God arise. We've had a misplacement of sovereignty. You need to know that the heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he's given to the sons of men. You need to know that he's put his word above his name. And when he gives something, he's not an Indian giver. I can use that because I am one. Forgive me, Grandpa. I know you might be watching this from heaven. Amen. You have the authority to let God arise. How's that sit with you? Is that foreign to you? Do you know who you are as an ambassador from the third heaven? That you actually are a gatekeeper to this realm. He says, I've given you the keys to both heaven and to earth. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. He's given you the keys. He's made you the doorway, and he's made you the gate. It's time that we stand up and release the kingdom into this realm. Amen. Acts chapter 1. O Theophilus, The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during the 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. We are on the 40th day. We're on the day of ascension. We're on the day of the great commissioning. We're on the day that Jesus Christ is about to leave this planet and go back up to where he always belonged, at the right hand of the throne of the creation, of all of creation. He's about to leave, and he's about to tell his disciples and his closest members the most important thing. As when you have a loved one, a patriarch in a family, a grandfather, a father passing on, he will draw the family in if he's a good father, and he will tell them all the secrets of the family. He'll tell them where the money is hid in the backyard. Shaka Bahai. He'll tell them about the will. He'll tell them about the funny things. He'll tell them about the good things. But he'll tell them about the most important things. Jesus was about to take off, and he wanted to release the greatest of all of his knowledge, his very last words. He said, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. And you can go back and you look in Luke chapter 24, verse 49. But he goes on in verse 5, he says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Even then, they were looking for Jesus to come on their white horse. They were looking for Jesus to come on his white horse. They were looking for him to lead the armies of Israel and take back over this physical kingdom. But as we know that Jesus came as a mustard seed, he came as leaven, he came so that he could grow in the midst of mankind and fill the whole earth, as we heard from Apostle. It wasn't his plan to come and take over any other way but by the kingdom of God coming on the inside of us and us learning and making decisions according to our relationship with him and us releasing the kingdom of God into this realm and giving him the grace to build the church. Verse 7 says, and he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has put in his own authority. The word time there is the word chronos. It's the tickety-tock of the clock. The word season there is the word kairos, which is the appointed times. He's not saying you're not to be like the sons of Issachar. He's not saying that you don't know the times, you don't know the seasons, but he's saying don't be worried about the things that are going on. There's something more important. There's something that we must do. You need to listen to me right now. He's saying to us, this is the most important thing in your life that I will ever share with you. Verse 8 says, but He says, don't be worried about the tickety-tock of the clock. Don't worry about CNN. Don't worry about ISIS. Don't worry about what this is happening. And don't worry about the dollar falling. Don't worry about the... Don't worry your pretty little head about what's going on in the physical realm. You need to be concerned about one thing. He says, but... That word is on the contrary. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes up and on you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes up and on you. You shall, but don't worry about what's going on, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. There's a river of living water that wants to come on you. There's the glory of God that wants to come out of you and mantle you and quicken you and fit you for every day. That's the dunamis. That word, you shall receive, that word receive is to lay hold of. It's not an inactive word. That word is to lay hold of. You need to be actively laying hold of. When you look into the Greek in that word, it's lay hold of. It's much like Philippians that says, you lay hold of that which is laid hold of you. What he put on the inside of you, it's time to you reach on the inside of you by your faith and bring it out. Because you have authority, but you need to bring power. Jesus, when he came down from the mountain of transfiguration, walked over to the little boy and cast out a demon that his associates could not cast out, because he said, this does not come out except for prayer and fasting. There's something you can do to increase the power level of your life, and it comes through prayer and it comes through fasting. It comes through spending time in the presence of God that you create by the power of your praise. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the disease, cast out devils. Amen? But how do you go into the world is just as important as going into the world. A lot of times, you'll operate in authority because of the blood of Jesus Christ and because of your position. But there are some things that don't move. And I'm telling you, we're coming into days where we are taking more territory, and we are going to need not only our authority, but we're going to need our power ramped up to maximum potential so that we can fulfill our purpose to maximum potential. Amen. Philip, is there any way you can go to the keys? Could you stand with me tonight? I want to repent for lying to you, because that's not my last story. I got one more. Forgive me? Thank you. I have a remnant of about two people that forgave me over here. Okay, thank you. Okay. Paul the Apostle was in jail, and he's writing a letter to his dearly beloved son. He's saying, Timothy, I'm mindful of your tears. I know I've made you the Pope of the Gentile Church. I know that you're a pastor of about 30 to 40,000 believers at this time, and I know you're only 17 years old. This is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It says, Timothy, I know the faith that was in both your grandmother Eunice and your mother Lois, or vice versa. I always get them mixed up. He says, I know that it's also in you. He says, I know that you have to deal with your parishioners being thrown to the lions and taking care of them. I know you're 17 years old. I know I'm your spiritual father, and I know that I'm in jail. I know I cannot be there to hold you, to counsel you, but receive my word today. Timothy, my dearly beloved son, I want to encourage you of one thing, according to 2 Timothy. And I want to encourage you, as Paul encouraged his son that day. He said, Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you that you received from me by the laying on of my hands. See, it's our responsibility to release the kingdom. And with faith like never before, I want you to understand that through the power of your praise, through the authority of you speaking in your spiritual language, can I be bold and say something to you tonight? I just need a remnant.
Yes.
I don't mean to condemn anybody. It's not, I want to bring conviction, but don't feel condemned by this. But if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you speak in other tongues, if you're not praying in the Holy Spirit for a half an hour every day, how bad do you want your purpose? When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're praying the mysteries of God that are being uploaded into your mind. The mysteries of God are being released. The spirit of wisdom, knowledge, understanding, counsel, might, and the fear of God is all being released potentially of coming out of you. There are wise and witty and ingenious ideas that are waiting for you to pray up into your mind to be released out of your mouth. But it's up to you. You must take this awesome teaching of the victorious and the ability to reign in Christ. That we're not giving this up to the enemy. There's no giants, the Nephilim are not showing up and taking over anything. Colossians 2, verses 11 through 15. Says the enemy was stripped of all of his authority and made a public spectacle of him in the cross. Luke 10, 19 says that you've been given all power over all the power of the enemy and nothing shall by any means hurt you. What does that really mean? It means that you have all authority and that the enemy has none. You're the gatekeepers. You're the doorway to somebody's miracle. But like Paul said to Timothy, he said, you stir up. Here's the one-stop shop and the one cure-all. Stir up Holy Spirit. The gift is the Holy Spirit. He is the gift. He's the guarantor. He's the one that is exactly like Jesus. He's my paracletos. He's the one that will come alongside me. But it's just not my right side, not just my left side, not just my front side, and certainly not just my backside. But he's the one that comes on the outside of me as I stir him up. We have a victorious future. We have a victorious future. We have a victorious ecclesiology. We have everything we'll ever need on the inside of us. He's desperately knocking and saying, will you let me out? Tonight, if you want prayer, I'd like to lay hands on you. And I'd like to add my faith to your faith. I'd like to release the kingdom of God to come out of you. I'd like to release the fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is Friday night. You may call this late. It's 5 minutes to 10. But was anybody not a Christian before this night? Did anybody go out clubbing? I already know who went out clubbing, so yeah, you right there. I'm just kidding. But you're just getting liquored up to go out by now.
when you're in the world. Oh, sorry, it's just you are all too pristine. It's time to press in. It's time to believe. It's time to dream. It's time to stir up the Holy Spirit again. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm saying that we need more. That worship tonight was phenomenal. And when Tony came up and began to lead us in prayer, we went to another level. I'm not saying you don't have a relationship. I'm not saying that you're not operating in authority and power, but I want to tell you, Jesus had a greater level of power that day. There's things you're facing in your life that need a higher level of power. So I don't know how you want to do this. Do you come forward here? Come on up, just quick as you can.